Welcome back to the Rotten Rainbow Podcast. I'm already over everything that's happening today. I truly am. Start off by saying, how are you guys doing today? I'm doing marvelous. I'm just lying. I'm kidding. I am not okay. It's just, you ever have one of those mornings where you wake up and you like look at the news and you just see fucking headlines that make you wonder why you got out of bed today, why you just didn't take extra hours to sleep and just ignore the world, literally being the stupidest year ever. 2020 has had a lot of turns, twists and turns, and I honestly do think that maybe 2021 will be so much better, like so much better. I think 2020 is honestly just like a big fucked up test. And if we get through it, then we have no issues next year, everyone. It's 2020 is starting to feel like a Doctor Who episode. Except really badly written. And people just panicking and trying to throw in whatever they can into a lot of episodes. This whole season, 2020 is a whole season of bad Doctor Who episodes, one after the other. But today, I'm doing alright, I guess. I have work today, and I decided I was going to record an episode now that the room is more or less completed. Right now, I'm just using this as like a work area. Okay, so here's what's happening with the room right now. Just a little update. To those who are curious, if you're not curious, sorry, I guess you're just gonna have to skip ahead. You know how to skip ahead. You'll hear the little game corner sound, and it'll start up a new segment, just like I always do. But here's what's happening with the room. The room is built, the carpet's in, the walls are painted, finished, done, nice. I did kind of a bad job with the ceiling, but I just don't give a fuck. I'm so excited to be moving into this area. The problems that have arisen are as followed. I can't move in yet because I don't even know how they fucking didn't, why we didn't think of this, me included. I too am the dummy in this situation. There's no cooling system or heating system for me to have in my room. There's no like swamp cooler or cooling system of any kind in here. I'm trying to figure that out. My best option would is to find a swamp cooler and hire someone to kind of install it and help with the insulation, because God knows I just want to move in already. I have a fan in here, which does help, honestly. I'm worried about the windows, because the windows are broken and kind of fucked up. I want to get them fixed. I want to figure out a way that I can secure my rooms, because I'm worried that people might break in easily, and then I might have my shit stolen. So far, my keyboard is still here. Thank God. I'm also trying to learn piano while I have this room set up. Oh, that's another problem we're having right now. So the side of the room that I am on has electricity, has current. The other side, the lights work. The plugs don't. The outlets in the walls on the other side of the room do not work. So I'm just so confused as to how the electrician we hired to come over here and to wire the place up forgot to wire the wall outlets. Because that's a pretty important part of this whole situation, is to have one side as my bedroom, the other side as a work area. And I can live peacefully and quietly. that's the most important part. So we're going to see if we can get that fixed. Oh, also, not related, but I found out that I have a dry socket. And if you don't know what a dry socket is, it's a big hole in your mouth. It's a hole in your mouth where they took out your wisdom teeth that didn't heal properly, that didn't clot properly with the blood clot. So now I had to make another dentist appointment, and I hope to God it's not as expensive like last time. Because I can't afford to right now. I'm so stressed out about that. Like, I don't even know how much it's going to cost. I just don't want to think about it. I just don't want to think about it. Oh, and I also, relating to the room, I also kind of soundproofed my door and painted it. I am really feeling the green color this year with my room. I'm glad I chose it. But yeah, that's what's going on with me and my room and my life. I'm doing great on my homework. I'm keeping up with it. I'm so thrilled. This is like one of the first semesters where I'm actually keeping up with my homework, and we're almost to the 8-week mark. We're at week 6 right now. So I'm excited to just continue going on with my life. I have my dog in here. And for some reason, she just likes to chew things. And then she gets sick, and then her tummy feels bad, because she just likes to pick shit up and eat it like a nasty bitch. Huh. Oh, I love you. You are a nasty bitch, though. You little brat. So anyways, without further ado, I think it's time that we get started with some of our topics for today. I think we're going to be really talking about the Xbox Series. It was like the newest Xbox. There has been some mistakes with it. Ellen DeGeneres and her Season 18 monologue. And just a whole bunch of fucking bullshit. So let's get right into it. I wanted to start off this episode by talking about Ellen DeGeneres. I do not like the woman. I used to. I'm not going to lie. I used to watch her show a little bit. Not a real daytime television fan, but I would watch clips of her YouTube video. And I just, over the years, I slowly stopped watching Ellen just because of the way she interacts with celebrities and people, especially, I think the one episode that made me officially stop watching Ellen and stop liking her is when Ellen invited Marie Kondo, who is a Japanese kind of like home organization lifestyle guru, and just straight up made fun of her for some reason. And it was just so weird. Okay, so here's what happened. I've seen Marie Kondo go on different types of shows like the Steve Colbert Show and Jimmy Kimmel, I believe she was on, but the one interview that really made me upset was when she went on Ellen. Marie Kondo doesn't speak English. She only speaks strictly Japanese, so she had a translator there and all that stuff. So while Marie Kondo is trying to kind of show Ellen how to spark joy with the things that she is trying to get rid of or she wants to keep, and trying to show how thanking what you are going to throw away, when you thank something for bringing you joy and doing its purpose, and then you throw it away. So she was trying to show Ellen how to do that, but Ellen wasn't being serious. As a comedian, she has to make things silly, but there's a way to make things silly and not be a total douche about it. Because Ellen is acting, she was acting like she didn't know what she was doing, and just making fun of her for, like, you know, not really knowing English, and just screwing around, not actually taking in what Marie Kondo was saying, just kind of poking fun at her, her process. And I thought that was just really rude, and really just childish. As opposed to when Marie Kondo went on Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert actually was listening to what Marie was trying to say and showing Stephen Colbert how to go through all your stuff and see what sparks joy and what doesn't and whatnot. And I really did like the Stephen Colbert interview with Marie Kondo. He was very sweet to her, and he really did try to understand what she was trying to express. It was really nice. But let's get back to Ellen, shall we? As I said before, I opened up an article from Cosmopolitan, and the title is Ellen DeGeneres' opening monologue gets slammed for being completely tone-deaf. The title of this article could not be more accurate. I watched the monologue happen, and it was like the accusations that were made towards Ellen, she saw it as like a joke. She saw it as something like to play off and the media, am I right, kind of moment. And it was so like cringy. I truly just think that this woman does not give a fuck about what's happening to anyone else but her. Like, if it's not helping her public image, she does not give a fuck about it. I truly believe that the reason she just gives money away to people, like ordinary people, is so she can get clout. And I think that Ellen DeGeneres is the ultimate clout star. She got famous because she was not only the first lesbian, she's a famous lesbian comedian, got her own talk show. That's the longest running syndicate talk show, beating Oprah Winfrey's talk show after I don't know what season, but she's the longest daytime talk show host so far. And people just kind of gravitate towards her because she's kind, quote unquote kind, and she's a lesbian. I truly believe that people kind of gravitate towards her because they have a gay person they can root for. And, you know, I'm so happy that people finally came out and started telling their side of the story, and their side of the story is fucking awful. It's one of the most toxic work environments I have ever heard of. All, mind you, these are all accusations, but like seeing how Ellen treats certain celebrities who don't have that much fame and how she kind of treats the audience too, it's really fucking hard to watch her anymore. And I do believe the allegations, because she truly cannot be nice all the time. I truly do believe that she cannot be nice all the time. She can't be that sweet and kind outside of her job. She probably gets tired. And, you know, if you're gonna fake being nice, don't be nice. Fucking get your shit together and then come back a kinder person. Don't fake being nice, because then this is what's gonna happen. You're gonna get called the fuck out, and then you're gonna have to try to backpedal the reason why you weren't being nice. Because you're a bitch. So, according to this article by Cosmopolitan, Ellen DeGeneres is getting backlash for all the jokes she made during her opening monologue, which was terrible. Oh my god, it was terrible. And the Ellen Show has been accused of being a toxic work environment rife with racism and bullying. Now, there is something that I have to mention about this toxic work environment thing that's critical to the entire arc, and the reason why I believe it. The reason I believe that this is real is because a lot of employees that used to work for Ellen have said that they had to sign a non-disclosure agreement saying basically that you cannot badmouth Ellen DeGeneres, and you can't say anything bad about your experience with Ellen and blah blah blah. That's why I believe this, because it's just like, why would you say that unless you're trying to cover something up? Then I could see why. But let's move on to the monologue, shall we? The monologue was disgusting. I will say, I'll give Ellen DeGeneres props, though, because she, because of the coronavirus happening, she ended up placing large screens, vertical screens, so that the audience members can be part of the Ellen DeGeneres show. I thought that was pretty cool, but that's about it. That's the only thing I actually give Ellen props to, is just kind of, you know, she has the money to do it, obviously, but it's pretty nice to see that. But let's get back to the monologue. The monologue was completely fucking stupid. She started the monologue basically saying, oh, I see all the audience members. I hope you smell, you guys smell great, I hope, and all that. And then she gets into the allegations, and she starts saying, well, I've heard all the allegations that have been happening, and I just want to address them. This is the first time I've ever heard of it. And I was floored at that. I was immediately floored that she had the audacity to say, this is the first time I've ever heard of me being a bitch. Really? Like, you didn't notice? You had to have noticed. Come on, you noticed. You knew you were being a bitch. Like, do I even have to say that? Do I even have to say, Ellen, you knew you were being a bitch? Like, that sounds ridiculous. That sounds absolutely crazy. It sounds like I'm part of a sitcom. Oh, Ellen, you didn't know you were being a bitch. Oh, that's Ellen. Like, of course you knew you were being a bitch. You were the one being the bitch. Oh my god. And she was just like, oh, I didn't know that this was a toxic work environment, and I'm trying everything in my power to do better and try to make this a nicer work environment. And according to the article, it's just like, oh god, that moment. Oh my god. It's funny that you had a rough meanwhile, god, I'm just a mess. This whole thing is a fucking mess. She was basically saying how hard her summer was after the allegations came out, and I was just like, really? Like, you made your employees' lives hell, making them walk on eggshell, but oh, your life was bad because people were calling you out. Just, oh, she's seriously the stupidest fucking comedian I've ever seen in my goddamn life. If, this is what I'm gonna say about this. You got called out by multiple people, and you have all these allegations happening against you, and you're saying that you may not return to the Ellen DeGeneres show, and all this and that, and then you finally return back with the show, and you say, oopsie poopsie, I might have hurt some feelings. Now I have to be nice to people. I'm trying. I'm doing better. Her apology was like a YouTube apology, you know? I wanted to make this video to show that I am trying to be better, not being a racist fuck of a person, and I'm truly sorry. I hope you can forgive me. It was so bad. Like, she should have at least been like, I have been a bad person when it comes to my employees. I've treated them bad. It is true what they are saying. It's true. I wish that she would have just said that. I wish she would have just been like, yes, I've treated my employees bad. I am gonna try better to treat my employees with respect. I'm gonna take responsibility for what I've done, and I just want to say I'm sorry to my crew members. And I feel like even if she said that, she should have at least said it to her employees too. She should have brought everyone into, you know, after rehearsal or something, she should have brought them all to the main area where they do the show and been like, I am really sorry for the way I've been acting. I take responsibility for how I've been acting, And I hope that you guys can forgive me. Sorry, my dog wants attention.
As usual.
And I wish, yeah, I wish she would have been like, I'm sorry for how I've treated you. I hope you can forgive me. I want to try to do better. And I do want to make, I do want to honor what I said by being a kind person who loves to give back. I'm sorry. Like, that would have been more acceptable. Even if it wasn't filmed, I feel like you automatically would see a change in the show and how it's run. But instead, she decided to entertain the audience. Sorry, I almost had to burp. She decided she wanted to entertain the audience with silly little allegations that were happening against her. Isn't that funny? Like, allegations, am I right, sis? Like, turning people's trauma into a bit, almost. It's just fucking gross. These people have been sexually harassed. They have been bullied. They have been traumatized by the way that Ellen talks to them, looks at them, acts around them. And then the show's back on, and then you see Ellen acting like nothing ever happened. I'd be pissed. I'd be pissed. I'd be throwing hands at the bitch. I would have left the job, honestly. I would have put in my 2 weeks notice and been like, I'm going to work for Conan O'Brien. He's a dick, and he knows he's a dick when he's doing bits with his coworkers and his employees and all that shit. But at least you know that he treats them nicely. He genuinely cares about them. I like Conan. That's why I brought him up. He does a lot of segments where he goes to different countries, and his assistant Sona Movsesyan. Movsesyan? Yes, Movsesyan. Maybe. Movsesyan. She's Armenian, and Conan took her to Armenia to kind of see what Armenia is all about. They did a lot of funny bits, and they talked about the Armenian genocide, and you could tell that Conan really does give a shit about Sona and his employees, even though sometimes the bits that they're in are so fucking awful. But I'd rather work for Conan than Ellen. Like, I would fucking shoot myself the first 3 months I was there with Ellen DeGeneres. Just the way that the horror stories that I hear, I would not want to work with Ellen. Ever. Sorry, I had to deal with my little baby. My sweet baby poodle, Nikki. She was like trying to. Every time I would break eye contact with her, she would start crying. And I had to move her out of the room. But let's talk about the next thing on our list. And it is the Xbox One pre-order mistake that's going on. I don't even know what the fuck is happening right now with this. But it is one of my favorite stories right now. So, according to an article from Polygon titled, "Whoops, some folks got an Xbox One instead of a Series X pre-order." And then the subcaption is, "It's an honest mistake." Okay, according to the article, people opened on Tuesday morning, and while some folks struggled to complete their transactions, other fans might have found the process easy, maybe too easy. As noted by Andrew Alert on Twitter, orders for the Xbox One S, this is the current generation of Microsoft gaming hardware, has increased today. Now, some of these folks undoubtedly wanted exactly what they got. Maybe they decided to hassle of spending hundreds of dollars on a next-gen console wasn't worth it, but it appears that others have made a mistake. So, just to paraphrase, people were trying to buy the Xbox Series X, which I believe is the latest next-gen console, but instead ended up buying an Xbox One S, which is the previous console. And it's true. It's true. It's an honest mistake. Oh my god. Xbox One X sales rank is up to 740% on Amazon. Oh my god. I don't mean to laugh. It's truly an honest mistake. But, like, read the description. Read what you're buying. This is the number one rule about buying online, is read the description and know what you're going to purchase. It's like the easiest fucking rule to understand about online shopping. Know what you're getting. And sometimes I will say, yes, you don't get exactly what you paid for online. But, like, an Amazon shopping, you have a pretty good idea of what you're going to get. Even if you get, like, wireless earphones, $5 on, you know, for some fucking weird-ass seller, you know what you're getting. You're getting $5 wireless earphones that you know may not work properly, but you're getting what you paid for.
Oh, excuse me.
Anyways, people got confused. They're trying to buy the Series X Xbox instead. They got the One X. It's an honest mistake, but also it is kind of Microsoft's fault for closely naming these things. Like, for God's sake, these two consoles end with an X. So you see Xbox One S, X, and you're just like, oh, that must be the new console. Instead of a Xbox Series X. Do you see why people would probably be confused? And it's not just people. It's not just Xbox fans. You have to think about where these consoles are being marketed. Who these consoles are being marketed to. Kids who are wanting the next gen console. And who is going to buy those next gen consoles? Parents. And what do parents know? Like, what do they know? Not video games. They know that they want this new stupid console. And you know, if they don't have it, then they're going to be the lame kid at school. Even though it's like, what? I don't even know how much it costs. How much does this thing cost? It doesn't say. Who knows? But it's probably, you know, a lot more expensive than the Xbox One X. Xbox Series X is probably a lot more expensive. So, like, when your parents are shopping online and they, you know, fucking, they think they found the damn console that you wanted and they order it, and then you find out that it's not the one that you wanted, and they're like, well, what the fuck do I know about video games? They're right. What the fuck do they know about video games? They're not playing video games, although that'd be cool if they did. They're working and paying off mortgages and doing stupid, gross adult things. They don't know any better. Like, so I could see where this kind of, this confusion kind of came from. And, speaking of Xbox fans, started sharing their stories of accidentally ordering the Xbox One, thinking that they had pre-ordered the Xbox Series X or S. One Twitter user tweeted out, "I was half asleep and ordered an Xbox One X by mistake. Fuck. I happily snagged my Xbox at 8 a.m. from Best Buy, wondering why it said it would be ready on 9:30, only to realize I had selected an Xbox One S, not Series S," another Twitter user wrote. For fuck's sake, like, Microsoft, you need to, like, name your shit a little bit differently. I mean, the PlayStation, fucking, you know, Sony, at least with their PlayStation line, they use numbers, you know? The PlayStation 1, 2, 3, 4, and now the 5 version of PlayStation. PlayStation 5, you know, they have numbers to label them as such. You have Xbox, Xbox 360, Xbox One, Xbox One X, Xbox One S, Xbox Series X, Xbox Series S. Even I'm getting confused. I almost lost my train of thought trying to figure out what the next fucking thing is. And, I guess, like, yeah, the Xbox One X and X... It's so confusing already. The One X and Series X are black boxes. You couldn't even try a different kind of color. Like, Nintendo At least with Nintendo, they give, like, different names for it. Like, you know what system someone is talking about. Like, the Super Nintendo, the Nintendo 64, the Wii U, that was a little confusing, I won't lie, the Switch, the Game Boy Color, the Game Boy Advance, the Game Boy Advance SP, the Game Boy DS, the Game Boy DSi, the Game Boy 3DS. Like, they have different names, and they might be in the same, like, area and family of shit, but they have different names for each thing. Like, the DS line, there was the DS, the DS Lite, the DSi, the DSi Lite, the DSi XL. That part was confusing, I will not lie, but you see what I mean? Xbox One X and Xbox Series X. They both end with an X, so I understand how people would get confused. I hope that people got, like, refunds for accidentally getting the One X instead of the Series X. Because if Microsoft decides to just be douchebags and be like, nope, you already bought it, you no, take backsies. I mean, people are going to throw fits. Like, Bill Gates, you better watch your ass. Or who the fuck owns the Microsoft that create the department of Microsoft that creates the Xbox games and consoles? I mean, but still, Bill Gates, you better watch your ass, because if you don't give these people refunds, people are gonna be pissed. So because I don't want to talk about politics anymore, because I feel like if I talk about politics one more time, I am going to fucking blow up on someone, and I really don't feel that passionate about any of these fuckers in office right now, or anyone who's running for to be the fucker in office right now. I don't care right now. I don't care to care. I just don't want to talk about politics. So instead, let's talk about Lizzo and this article from People Magazine titled, Lizzo Reflects on Commercialized Body Positive Movement. Inclusivity is what my message is. Lizzo is opening up about the body positivity movement and how she tries to promote inclusivity with it, which is interesting because I always thought that's what it was all about, was, like, inclusivity. You can't have, I agree with her, like, you can't have body positivity without, like, inclusivity. You have to be able to appreciate all body types from all people. And I guess people haven't been doing that? Let's see. Lizzo is opening up about the body positivity movement and how she tries to promote inclusivity within it. For Vogue's October cover story, the 32-year-old artist said body positivity has been appropriated and quote-unquote commercialized. Now you look at the hashtag body positive and you see smaller framed girls, curvier girls, a lot of white girls, she told the outlet. And I feel no ways about that because inclusivity is what my message has always been about. I'm glad that this conversation is being included in the mainstream narrative, she continued. What I don't like, she continued, is how the people that this term was created for are not benefiting from it. Girls with back fat, girls with bellies that hang, girls with thighs that aren't separated, that overlap, girls with stretch marks. You know, girls who are in the 18 plus club, they need to be benefiting from the mainstream effects of body positivity now. But with everything that goes mainstream, it gets changed, it gets, you know, gets made acceptable. She does have a point. I've noticed that the body positive movement isn't exactly helping thicker women and men and anyone in between the spectrum. They're not being represented because their idea, I'm talking about like mainstream's idea. Mainstream's idea of like body positivity is a girl who has thicker thighs, thicker waist, but is toned, and mostly lighter skinned and Caucasian. It's sometimes like that. I remember there was a I remember with the body positivity movement kind of started back in like 2000 something, 2008, 2009. I was still watching America's Next Top Model, and every time they would have a model who was a little thicker, not a lot, just a little thicker, it would be like, it would just be this whole thing of, oh, she's so brave, she's so body positive, she's amazing, look at her, she's so brave, as Nicole Byer says, hashtag very fat, very brave. Also, like, Nicole Byer is a huge proponent of, like, not body positivity, but also inclusivity as well. So I totally do get where Lizzo and Nicole Byer are coming from. It never occurred to me that, like, people take this body positivity thing seriously, but they kind of have morphed it into some weird, they've morphed it into the exact opposite of what it should be, is to celebrate all body types. Some people are just genetically predisposed to being fat, and some people just love just the curves and just being fat. I think we should just accept that from people and try not to change it. It's not our responsibility to, like, to judge someone on whether they're fat or not. We don't know their life story. We don't know what's going on with them. There, you know, you might be judging a fat girl who has always struggled with, like, bulimia or anorexia, and finally she's at the point where she has conquered that mental illness, and she's finally eating what she wants, and she loves it, and she's gained a few pounds, and then people come in and be like, you're so brave, like, for, what are you talking about, she was not doing anything, just, this, let her be, don't say that she's, you know, this or that, just let the person be. And there's still fat shaming going around, which is also part of the inclusivity of it. Like, you can't just shut the fuck up. Let people be how they want to be. You don't know their life story, and you just need to, I don't know. I'm so bad at this kind of stuff. What I'm trying to say is the inclusivity part is being taken for granted when it comes to body positivity. And it's just become this fucking trend of eat what you want, girl, be body positive, instead of being like, love your body for what it is and fuck what anyone else thinks. Don't let people fat shame you, and don't let people bully you for your weight. That's what it should be, regardless whether you're black or white or Asian or Native American or, you know, Filipino or Vietnamese, or if you're from Latin America or wherever you're from, love your body and love the skin you're in, regardless of what weight you will have, no matter what size you are, no matter how your body is shaped, love the skin you're in and love yourself. Yeah. Let me just continue on with this article. The Truth Hurts singer went on to say in the interview that she doesn't fully claim the term body positive, preferring body normative instead. I think it's lazy for me to say I'm body positive at this point, Lizzo said. It's easy. I would like to be body normative. I want to normalize my body and not just be like, ooh, look at this cool movement, being fat and body positive. No, being fat is normal. That's what I was trying to kind of say. I think now I owe it to the people who started this to not just stop here. We have to make people uncomfortable again so that we can continue to change, she added. Change is always uncomfortable, right? In a previous interview with the Rolling Stone in January, the singer said she hopes people recognize that she is so much more than her body, she said, because I actually present that and I have a whole career. It's not a trend. Lizzo, as much as people don't like her music, I personally do like her music. I think she has a really great voice, and she works with a lot of producers who make good songs and that understand her kind of flow. And she also, like, knows how to play the flute, which is impressive in itself. Not because she fucking... The fact that she twerks sometimes, like, most of the time while playing the flute is amazing. I don't know how you could have the breath support to play the flute and twerk. Think about that. When you're playing a wind instrument, you have to have a proper breath support, which usually means standing still. This motherfucking bitch can play the flute and twerk. She has great breath support, and I commend her for that. Also, she just knows how to play an instrument, which, like, I wish I did. I'm trying to learn the piano right now, hence why I, you know, come to this room and just kind of work here and try to get better. I'm also trying to improve my singing voice. But aside from that, it's fucking cool that she knows how to play an instrument, and she plays it in music videos sometimes. But back to the interview. In addition to opening up about how she feels about body positivity in the new Vogue cover story, Lizzo also encourages her fans and followers to vote in the upcoming presidential election, which I'm not even gonna. She, you know, voting is important, but I don't want to talk about politics. She also goes on to saying there's a lot of voter suppression in black communities. That is true. I will say that. You notice that a lot of the more poorer areas where there's a lot of, like, black folks, they're trying to suppress the voters there so that they can't vote. But, like, you can vote by mail, request a mail-in ballot, and fucking vote. Don't listen to the Cheeto Puff. He's fucking stupid. I can go on and on about how much I don't like Trump, but I'm really trying to avoid politics right now. I might do a whole episode of why I don't like Trump and the whole problem with our political system and the ingrained racism that is in our political system, but just not right now. I just want to entertain you guys and not stress you guys out. If you want to read about the politics and the elections, the election happening, please do it on your own time. I just can't right now. I honestly do think, I think I'm going to wrap it up here. I just would want to say one extra little bit before I end this episode. The pandemic is still happening out there, and like I said before, I have people who don't have that great of an immune system suffering right now. They can't leave their house. They have been on lockdown for a good 4 months. The pandemic isn't over just because you're over it. So I'd like to remind everyone to stay safe. Stay sanitized. Try to keep social distancing up, 6 feet away from everyone. If we keep this up, then we have one problem out of the way, and we can worry about other problems. Like, currently we're having problems with our politicians being jackasses and the child trafficking that's going on right now. All important, very important things going on right now in the world. But all I'm saying is I really just want this pandemic to be over with. And I think if we just band together, I'm talking to, like, America itself. The other countries are doing just fine. We're the fucking idiots in the world right now. We can't get our shit together even if we tried. There's always this debate about we're being oppressed and everything. Well, okay, be depressed. And be oppressed. And then be sick, okay? Because apparently it takes being sick. Not even that. It doesn't even take being sick to fucking understand that the coronavirus, although it is not... I don't even know how to say this. The coronavirus may not kill you. You may recover from the coronavirus. But you could still spread it while you're sick. Which is why they ask you to quarantine for 2 weeks while you get better and to go and get tested to see if you are COVID negative or positive. Because it's not... The mortality rate is important, but the spread is what they were trying to prevent. And we failed big time at it. So if we just continue to keep it up, if we continue to stay safe and sanitized, we might have a chance of getting rid of COVID, maybe mid-2021. At worst, 2023, if people will continue to be stupid. And by stupid, I mean wearing lace masks to a public area like Walmart. And I work in retail, and I've already seen three separate women wear lace masks because they cannot breathe with the fucking surgical mask and all this whiny pussy ass shit that they fucking pull. My coworker who has asthma can work 8 hours with the mask on, and although he has asthma and it's a little bit difficult for him to breathe, he's a trooper because he doesn't want to catch the COVID, because if he catches COVID along with his asthma, he will die. And that's another thing that people are saying, is that COVID is not the main killer of people. It's pre-existing conditions. Well, those pre-existing conditions help COVID with killing people. There you go. So, just stay safe out there, guys. Be smart about this kind of stuff. And I will catch you guys later, alright? You guys have a good day.